Hello, I'm Howard Mirziak, founder and president of Lacuna Incorporated. Why remember a destructive love affair? Here at Lacuna, we have perfected a safe, effective technique for the focused erasure of troubling memories. In a matter of hours, our patented non-surgical procedure will rid you of painful memories and allow you a new and lasting peace of mind you'd never imagined possible.
This is a hoax, right?
I assure you, no.
Is there any risk of brain damage?
It's on a par with a night of heavy drinking. Nothing you'll miss.
So before we do anything, I wanted to actually bring this up and talk to you about it, okay? A study was just released that only 34% of adults go to the movie theaters. That means two-thirds of people don't go to the movie theaters, right? And when polled, two-thirds of people said they would rather wait to see a movie until it's streaming. I'm clearly in the 34%. I go to the movies all the fucking time, and I love it. But I want to ask you, if we were not together, or if we were together, and we weren't doing this podcast, would you give a shit about going to the movies? Or would you wait?
So, like, big blockbuster movies, like movies that get a lot of attention, a lot of, like, previews, ramp-ups, I'd probably see those in theaters. But as far as, like, going to the theaters to just see, oh, this movie's coming out, mm-hmm. I'm going to go see it. No.
Would you have seen Dune 2 in theaters?
Yes, but only because I had just watched Dune 1.
Okay. Fair enough. You're saying that there are movies that could get you there.
Yes.
Okay, so I feel like you're probably 50-50.
Yes, but a lot of times I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait till it comes out.
Yeah, you definitely fall. I feel like you should just say you fall into the camp of I'll wait till it's on streaming. There are so many movies where I'm like, I want to see that. And you're like, I'll wait.
But
you can go without me. I'll wait.
There are certain movies that, like, you just need to see on a big screen.
The only movie I can think of that you said I have to wait for you was Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 last year.
Yeah.
And it came out the weekend you left. You had to go to a bachelorette party. And I had to sit there and just wait for you to get home so we could go see it. And it was killing me. But that was the only movie I can think of in, like, the last 2 years, 3 years, where you were like, you have to wait for me to go to the theater to see it.
Yeah.
So, I feel like you're probably more towards wait till it's on streaming.
Yes.
Unless it's probably, like, would you see if they did another Avengers movie?
Yeah, I'd go to the theaters
to see it. Go to the theaters to see it. Yeah. Okay. Any John Cena movie?
No.
Okay. Perfect. I mean,
but
there,
like,
you go.
As far as, like, these little movies, like, that you're, like, what are you going to see?
Arthur the King? Oh, I'm going to see Love Lies Bleeding, Immaculate, and Ghostbusters, The Frozen Empire.
Yeah. So, first,
would you watch any of those in the theater?
Maybe Ghostbusters, but the other two I've never heard of.
Mm-hmm. You've heard me talk a lot about Love Lies Bleeding.
Yeah.
It's probably in one ear out the other because I'm like, Kristen Stewart, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. See, I know. I don't know why I can't remember that that's what that movie is. But, like, I guess I have seen a little bit about that. But, like, that's a movie that, like, you don't need to see it on a big screen. It's like these big, huge special effects movies that, like, I want to see on the big screen.
You want to experience it in its fullest glory.
Yes. Like, you know, I'm upset we didn't see Dune 2 in IMAX because apparently it was made for IMAX.
Well, yeah, you get 40. Get this. When you watch a movie in IMAX, you get 40% more of the picture. And so when those scenes where, like, the spaceships basically are being cut off at the top, someone showed you what it would have looked like in IMAX. And it's like you get the entire spaceship.
Yeah.
So we're losing out at least on half of the special effects, quite honestly.
Yeah.
By not seeing it in IMAX. So I feel like I want to personally try to get to IMAX more for, like, the bigger movies. It's just that IMAX costs a little more. And I got to drive further from my house. Whereas there's a theater right down the street that's playing the same movie.
But yeah, for me, it's like if it's a big movie with a lot of special effects, Avatar, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. Like,
so all of the Marvel movies, basically.
Avatars aren't Marvel.
No, true. But I'm talking like Avengers and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are the movies that I'm like, yeah, I need to see those in theaters to get that full experience.
No, that is true because watching them on, like, I was really upset that I couldn't watch the Marvels in theater. And it's not because I was like, oh, I'm so excited for this movie. But it's because a movie like that is just more fun. And it's just a better experience seeing it, like, tear down on a movie theater screen.
Right, like, when you're immersed.
Yeah.
And there's not distractions, and it's all dark, and there's a huge screen.
And right. And, the distractions part's huge for me. When, like, I physically cannot take out my phone or talk or anything. It is a massive
more
key.
So for me.
Yeah. But I was looking at things that people were commenting on these videos and these articles that I was seeing. I want to get your take to see if you think that these ideas would get more people into theaters. So I have just like five listed here. Ready? Number one, lower the price of the concessions.
Yes. I mean, I don't know why I just said sorry. We swear on this podcast all the time. a thing of popcorn is $8.
Yeah.
Popcorn is cheap. Your tub of popcorn should be $4 max. Popcorn is hella cheap.
Yeah, it is
and
crazy.
And then candy.
It is crazy.
You can get a big bag of candy from the Walmart next door and get three times what you're paying for that one box.
Right. It is. The concessions are crazy. That's where they get you. You know what I mean? It's because you're going to go watch Dune. You're going to go watch Dune, which is 2 hours and 46 minutes. You're going to go watch Killers of the Flower Moon at 3 hours and 30 minutes. And you're telling me you're not going to get a drink or a snack?
Yeah.
Bro, you're lying. The next one I have for you is, this has been tossed around quite a bit, is personal headphones. So everyone that comes in is given a pair of headphones that they use to connect to the speakers, and that way they can listen to the movie in their headphones and not to the people talking that might be talking around them.
See,
would this interest you?
No. So I think essentially it's a good idea, but then you have to get into like the safety of it.
And cleaning. I just don't think if you're having a night like Dune 2 and the theater down the street sold out for every single showing, there were like 15 showings in one weekend.
Yeah.
There, you tell me they're going to be able to clean those in a safe manner, turn them over and get them back out to people.
Right. Mine is more safety. Like if a shooter comes in or if someone collapses and they need help and no one can hear you or just like a fire, like just like things like that, like. It's more of like a safety thing for me of like wearing headphones in a situation like that.
Yeah.
And I realize that's just like my worst case scenario coming through.
It's not though. Because that was the huge, the person who suggested this, a lot of people were saying back to this person like, hey, like think about the consequences of this. If someone is in a medical emergency or like you said, a fire, or they need to evacuate the building for some reason and you have headphones on, how is anyone going to know? And especially in a theater where it's dark and people do get up to go to the bathroom and stuff. Like if someone were to stand up, you wouldn't think anything of it. And if they were to just, you know, you're not paying attention and they drop over and you're not looking at them, you wouldn't know that person dropped unless you're sitting right fucking next to them. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I get it, but I personally wouldn't mind if they did go that route. But again, I don't think it's practical. I don't think it's something you could actually implement.
I think I would be a little bit on edge if I was wearing headphones in a... Because they'd have to be noise canceling. Because if you're wearing headphones, everyone's going to be chewing louder. Everyone's going to be doing everything louder because they're not conscious of the noises that they're making because they don't hear them. So they'd have to be noise canceling.
Yeah.
But then if you get noise canceling, it would make me unsettled to be like, I can't hear my surroundings.
So you're vetoing this one.
Yeah, that's enough.
I like the idea. I just don't see it practically working out, which sucks. No. Next one I have for you is actually enforcing a no phone, no talking policy.
So, no phones, yes. 100% no phones. But I think for some movies, not talking, but like being able to have like a reaction.
No, I know I'm talking about reactions. We're talking about people talking. At a good person.
Yeah.
Cass and I had an experience, a good person, that was less than fun.
Like, don't go... That's one thing.
We're doing it
like,
now. Stop. Cut it short.
No. I'm going to cut it short. But, like, if you are paying to go to a movie and you want to talk through the whole thing, then maybe you need to wait for it to come to streaming.
Yeah, you are the two-thirds that should wait at home, dude.
Talk in the comfort of your own home.
Right.
Because the people that are coming here to watch a movie paid this money and paid outrageous amounts for concessions. And they
took a mortgage out to get that popcorn, son of a bitch.
And they want to watch it without hearing about all the drama that's going on in your life.
Right. So I think that there should absolutely be... Reactions is a whole different thing. Like an audience laughing, that's fine. People gasping, that's fine. I mean, that's what made Scream 6 fun for me, was like the audience reacting. I had such a fun time like listening to everyone like get all fired up and jostled up over certain things that were happening. But when you're just blatantly having a conversation, it's like, why did you come here?
Right.
Go have a conversation anywhere else. So I think that the no talking policy should absolutely always be enforced. And I've literally seen it where it hasn't been. And I've seen it where the phone policy is. I was at a movie theater when we were in New Hampshire. And I watched a man, I watched the usher kick a woman out because she was on her phone. Yeah. And I was like, cool.
The one thing I do think about that, though, is like, what if, like, it's an emergency? Like, what if
You got to leave the theater. If your phone's vibrating and you have a child or something, definitely leave the theater. Because I don't think turn your phone off. I'm like, that's just not a possibility. Because, like, we got to, in this day and age, you got to have your phone on. And if something were to happen, I feel like you should just get up and leave the theater. But the phones don't bother me nearly as much as
talking.
It's the talking that kills me. Because I've never been in a theater where someone's just blatantly on their phone the whole time. But people will, like, take their phone out, check the time, and put it back in their pocket. Maybe fire off a quick text. If the brightness is turned all the way down, I really actually don't care. But there's only been, like, maybe one time where I was annoyed with someone on their phone. Other than that, I mean, I don't get... I'm not that concerned with it. I would never use my phone. But talking is what kills me. There has to be a no-tolerance talking policy. Yeah. You gotta go. I'll never forget one time at Spider-Man 2... When that came out, I saw it in theaters with my dad, and my dad was really frustrated because this guy was talking through the whole thing. Him and his wife would not shut up. And my dad was like, I was like, don't get into a fight. I was like 10, maybe. I was less than 10. It must have been like 2004. So I must have been like 8. And I was like begging him not to get into a fight. And he kept telling the guy, he needed to shut up, he needed to shut up, he needed to shut up. And finally my dad got up, left me in the theater alone, came back in. And then they turned the lights on in the theater and stopped the movie. And people came in and escorted the couple out. And I was like, holy shit, don't talk in a theater. It was like ingrained in me. I was like, oh my God, they'll have people drop from the ceiling and kick you out of the theater. Holy shit, like this is the real deal. So I was terrified. And like you said, you're 100% right. I have seen maybe one usher. And it was the time he caught a woman on her phone.
Right.
Last one, less trailers.
Oh no, I like the trailers.
So when we were at the Regal, it was 30 minutes worth of trailers, baby. It was 10 trailers.
I know you always, like, you get excited when there's 3 trailers. I like the trailers. The trailers actually get me excited for seeing movies in theaters. Like, if and this is like a debate on if you should go to theaters to watch movies or if you should wait for them to come out on streaming. And I think the previews and the trailers at the movies make me want to go see those movies in the movies.
Yeah, no, I completely disagree with you on that. I think we've talked about this a lot. I think there should be no more than 2 or 3 trailers. And when we were at the Regal, when we first started this podcast, it was 10 to 12 trailers every single time, plus the ads for the cinema, plus the ads for all the sponsors. And so we're talking like, it was like 30 to 40 minutes worth of credits before the movie even starts. The movie's 2.5 hours.
It was AMC.
Yeah, AMC.
Not Regal.
I mean, Regal does the same thing.
Yeah.
That's what kills me. That was AMC. Regal is worse. No. Regal, you have to add 45 minutes because Regal does their own fucking, like, ads for themselves after the trailers. They'll do ads for themselves. And I'm like, I'm already here. I'm already in the theater. I've given you my money. Why are you giving me more ads for you? Like, AMC does that Nicole Kidman thing where she walks up and down the aisles. Just get rid of that. You don't actually need that. We're here. We're in the theater already. Who are you advertising to?
Right.
So I think they should absolutely cut the pre-roll down to no more than 15 minutes. Mm. Period. And just be done with it. Just be done with it. I think that's how you get people. I think you want more people to come in. You shorten the goddamn pre-roll. Have it be like 3 or 4 trailers. And then you're into the movie. Like the new theater we go to down the street in Falmouth. Fantastic. You lower the price of concessions. And I think you enforce the no talking, no phone policy. I think people would want to go.
Yeah.
But... So we're vetoing the headphones for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I also don't think the headphones were a great idea. But we've rambled for quite a long time. So let's go ahead and jump into what we're doing and why we're doing it.
Hi.
Hi. I figured you'd show your face around me again. Because I thought you were humiliated. You did run away after all.
I just needed to see you.
Yeah?
I'd like to, take you out or something.
You're married.
Not yet. Not married. No, I'm not married.
No. Look, man, I'm telling you right off the bat, I'm high maintenance, so I'm not gonna tiptoe around your marriage or whatever it is you got going there. If you want to be with me, you're with me.
Okay.
So this week was my pick, and for the first time ever, I'm pretty sure, I had no clue what I wanted to watch. I had no movie in mind. I had no pick. And come Sunday, Cass was like, you want to watch something for the podcast? And I was like, no, let's watch something for fun. Because I just couldn't think of anything. And then, lo and behold, while we were looking for a movie, The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind popped up on Peacock. And so I watched the trailer for it, and Cass's exact words were, gross, I hate Jim Carrey. And I was like, okay, we won't watch that one. We'll skip that one. So the next day, I get a text from Jake. Shout out to Jake. He recommended a movie for the podcast. And he was like, you guys have to watch Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I was like, okay, that's pretty crazy that he just recommended that. And I saw it yesterday. Maybe there's something to it. Maybe we should do it. I come home. I'm scrolling on Instagram. I'm talking to Cass. And sure enough, it was the 20th anniversary of the release of the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And then on top of that, we logged into Peacock, and the first movie that popped up, it said, for you, Kyle, was The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. And I looked at Cass, and I was like, I'm going to have to make you watch this movie. I mean, the signs are all there, man. I'm a sign guy. We have to watch this fucking movie. Yeah. So that's why I picked it. And Cass is well-documented on just not liking Jim Carrey. So I was concerned she was not going to enjoy this movie at all. And I was like, sorry, man, I have to do it. We have to watch this movie. Mm-hmm. I had never seen it before. I do remember it actually coming out. I remember when it came out. Or not when it came out, but I remember growing up and seeing it around my house, because I'm pretty sure my mom owned it. But yeah, I just never wanted to watch it. I'm not a huge fan of Jim Carrey either, but no, I don't hate him.
Jim Carrey gives me the creeps. Jim Carrey is freaking creepy, and I don't like him. I don't watch any movie that he's in besides The Grinch, and I like him in that because he doesn't look like Jim Carrey.
Yeah, you did say that.
He's supposed to be creepy in that.
Because you did mention while we were watching it that you found it weird that the one movie you did like with him is one of your favorite movies, and it's The Grinch. Yes.
But, like, The Mask, oh my god, I can't even watch that. His mannerisms was that in that movie, it's just like, he gives me the heebie-jeebies. And he just, it's his face too. Like, it's just his real life face. Like, not even like a movie face. Like, his real life day-to-day face gives me the creeps.
Jesus, that's so brutal. He has crazy, like, facial control. Like, there's like clips going around of like him when he was younger, like doing his face, like just moving his face muscles. It's insane. Everyone should go look that up. I'm just not a fan of Jim Carrey because a lot of his movies are like so over the top comedy and like really just cartoonish.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of that.
Isn't he in Dumb and Dumber?
He is in Dumb and Dumber. I've also never seen that. I watched The Mask, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. And then I saw The Truman Show, and I was like, this is good. And that's about it. Oh, Evan, I watched Bruce Almighty. I did like that. But I'm just not a huge Jim Carrey fan.
No.
And I got to tell you, I think in this movie, he is still quirky, and he is still over the top, but it's definitely dialed back to what I'm used to seeing from him. So I was like, okay, pleasant surprise. Maybe Cass won't hate this so much. But we're about to find out, aren't we?
Wait.
What?
I don't know.
What
just
do
wait.
You want, Joel?
Just wait. I don't know. I want you to wait for just a while.
Joel, I'm just a fucked up girl who's looking for my own peace of mind. I'm not perfect.
I can't see anything that I don't like about you.
But you
right
will.
Right now, I can't.
But you will. You know, you will think of things. And I'll get bored with you and feel trapped because that's what happens with me.
Okay.
Okay.
Was there anything that you wanted to talk about first before we jump in? Because you made a sound like you wanted to.
No, I was just talking about, like, I think it's too early to say what I want to say.
Oh, no, say it. I want to hear it. Let's just jump right in. Let's do it.
I think both of the main characters in this movie were incredibly unlikable.
Okay, let's talk about it, because my second note and third note, my second note is, let's talk about Clementine. And my third note is, Joel wasn't the nicest or the most open person in his relationship. And I think Clementine might have been way too much and way too open and way too insecure.
Yes. So, I don't like Jim Carrey. So in this movie, it was not hard for me to find things.
Yes, it's not fair, man.
To dislike about Joel.
Ooh, that's not fair.
However, I do like Kate Winslet. But in this movie, I hated her.
Yeah, she's like... I think what the movie did well was show you the demise so you don't like these people. They show you how bad it is first.
Right.
And so you're working backwards. You see how awful and terrible they are, and you're like, why are they together? But as the movie goes, and this is another note I have, is that this movie is just a perfect loop, and the way everything is pieced together is fantastic. But they show you how awful they were together first, so you have a real dislike for them as the movie goes. But then you start to soften to them because you realize that we were just seeing the bad memories, and that's the whole point, is he's trying to erase just the bad memories.
Yeah. However, I must say that they did such a good job of making them unlikable for me that I did not feel very connected to the whole sadness post-breakup that they were going through. I didn't care because I thought they were terrible people and were terrible together.
You kind of think they were toxic.
They were.
They seemed really 100%. Toxic. They seemed like they were too...
Especially Clementine.
Yeah, they felt like they were too, way too opposite, because opposites attract... Yes. And I'm sure she could, like, bring the fun out of him and he can dial her back a little bit. And we got glimpses of that throughout their memories. But they're just so opposite that it just wasn't working. It was like the magnets when you try to push them together and they're pushing away from each other. That's what it felt like. They wanted to be together, but, like, their flaws just were pushing them away from each other. Right.
And Clementine was almost so neurotic that it's like, I understood why Joel didn't trust her.
Mm-hmm.
She was very untrustworthy because her whole thing was like, you know how spur of the how like random I am and how, what's the word she used?
Spontaneous?
Spontaneous, yes. How spontaneous, I'm just spontaneous. And it's like, yes, but there's a line between spontaneous and reckless, and she was reckless.
Yeah. What I also think is that these two people couldn't see their own flaws. They could only see the flaws in each other. And so I think that is another thing that the movie tries to show you. Because while I agree with you, I also want to play devil's advocate a little bit, because I agree with you. I think they're both unbearable human beings at their worst. But most people are at their worst. And I think we were seeing them at their worst. I do think that they needed to look in the mirror. And I think the way that they were able to do that, and I think it, I'm going to go straight to the end here. I think having them get the tapes sent to them by Mary, who's another character who outs the whole operation of erasing each other's memories. Mary sends out the tapes and they're listening to them, and he's hearing her talk about his flaws and he hates it because he knows it's true. But then he hears her talking about her flaws and she hears it, and they don't want to talk about those things with they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk in that way about each other because they do care about each other. And I think that takes a long look in the mirror. Like, you have to understand who you are as a person and fix your own issues, because it was so insecure and was so, like, sporadic and manic at times, honestly. At one point, I looked at you and I was like, is she, like, having a mental breakdown? Which I'm fairly certain she was, but it's because of the dream machine, you know what I mean?
Right.
But facing your own flaws and, like, knowing them and accepting them and working on them is what they needed to do. And I think doing that would make them a good couple. I just don't think either of them were willing to, because they were so distraught over the other's flaws.
Right. I think where this movie failed a little bit for me is, they did such a great job at showing the worst sides of these people that when it came to, like, having to care about what they were going through and, like, really, like, have a deep connection to it, I didn't. I just didn't, because I didn't like them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... I understand what the movie was trying to do with showing their flaws and showing, like, the worst sides of them, because then you do get those peaks of the good that they had in their relationship and how they were good for each other, but they just did such a good job of showing how terrible they were for each other that when those parts did shine through, I was just like, eh.
I already hate them so much. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I kind of had the opposite effect on me. I 100% understand what you're saying, and I get where you're coming from, but for me, seeing them be so toxic to each other and then seeing how it was in the beginning and that they actually do care for each other and they just like can't get over their own issues. I think it was endearing and it made me soften towards them. I still, and I'm sorry, Jake, and I'm sorry to everyone who loves this movie. This movie is well loved. I know it is. I've seen people talk about it. I think Joel and Clementine are a terrible couple.
Yes.
They're just toxic. And I'm glad that they're able to work through their shit. Maybe they won't, you know, like maybe they won't be toxic now that they know their shit and they have their baggage and they can deal with it. But man, watching them interact in those dream sequences and those memories and shit, so I was like, weird. Oh my God, why are you together?
Right.
Like, it doesn't make sense.
No.
She wants to be free and have fun and be a crazy person. And he wants to read his books and like go for walks on the beach. You know what I mean? So right. it didn't add up. But there's one thing I want to talk about real quick because I mentioned her. I want to talk about Mary and the Dream Machine because I feel like we should talk about this technology here.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to tell us what the technology is and how this all works?
Yeah, so I'll do my best. So they pretty much, they bring you to this doctor where, well, first they send you to your house to collect everything that has some sort of memory association to the person that
you're trying to forget.
You want erased from your brain. Then you bring it to this doctor and the doctor kind of talks through each item and just kind of says like, what is the story behind this? What is the connection here? And as he's doing this, he's essentially mapping your brain to see where in your brain those memories light up. Then essentially they send you home with a drug.
Yeah, they make you drug yourself. They basically roofied him.
Where that you drug yourself. And then these people break into your house with
Mark Ruffalo and Elijah Wood break into your house. That was fucking the most jarring thing in this movie was seeing Mark Ruffalo young and Elijah Wood just in general. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I thought it was so funny when you said, man, that guy really looks like Mark Ruffalo.
And I was convinced it was his brother.
And I'm like, I've gone this entire movie thinking that it is Mark Ruffalo.
Do you want to know why I was confused? It was the hair.
His
hair's like curly now. In this movie, it's like spiked straight up. And I was like, that is not Mark Ruffalo. I just can't see it. But his cadence and mannerisms were him. And I remember thinking that has to be his brother. And you were like, no, that's him.
Yeah.
And I Googled it and I was like, I'll be damned. I'll be slapped on the ass. That's Mark fucking Ruffalo.
But yeah, so Mark Ruffalo breaks into your house. Just kidding.
I want it to happen just for that. I want to hang out with Mark Ruffalo.
And they essentially put this helmet on you that while they map through or while you like dream of all these memories or they... I don't know if they... Do you dream of the memories or are they putting the memories in your head?
I think...
So then they can delete them.
I think they put them in there and then they delete them.
Yeah.
While you're sleeping.
Yeah.
So because he's not really dreaming.
Right. So they put this helmet on his head. They feed him a memory. And while he's thinking about that memory, they delete that part of his brain.
Pretty much.
Essentially.
Yeah. That's it. And Mary comes into play. I'll take over from here. Mary comes into play because she is the receptionist at the agency that Joel goes to have his mind wiped of Clementine. Now, Mary is hooking up with our boy Mark Ruffalo.
Yes.
But Mary is also infatuated and very much so in love with Howard, who is the doctor who has started this whole
thing.
He created it all. Now, the reason I want to talk about Mary is because she's the one who ultimately sends out the tapes to everybody.
Right.
And why does she do that? Because she finds out she was a former patient because she hooked up with Dr. Howard and had an affair with the man because he's married with kids. And so he erased her memory with her consent. He erased her memory. But she also realizes how much of a violation that is. Because even though she did consent to it, she was still working with the man.
Right.
And how embarrassing that is. And how awful it is to not have those memories.
Right.
So she decides, okay, I'm blowing the lid off this whole thing and sends the tapes to everybody who's ever had treatment.
Right. But also you have to think, like, in her position, like, even in this, like, her mind's been erased and she still is infatuated with this man. Like, still loves him.
Right.
But she doesn't understand why. And so I think when she understands that, that happened to her, she's just like, cannot believe that he let her go on
right
like this.
Right. He continued to work with her, continued to let her work with him. knowing they had a very inappropriate relationship.
Yeah. Right, and they've been down that path before, and it didn't end well for her, so...
I also think she's a great way to show the audience that the nasty repercussions in real time. Whereas, like, with Jim Carrey, we're just, like, in his dreams, and we're, like, or his memories, and we're just wandering around with him, and it's all panic. But with Mary, it's just showing the real-world implication of the aftermath, not the actual event happening.
Right.
Because it's like, you're missing massive chunks of your life.
Right.
And she clearly regrets it, because she's missing a huge part of her life.
Right.
So her deciding to just blow the lid off of it all brings Clementine and Joel back together, essentially. Because they're together, but they now know their flaws and know their faults and know how to work on themselves. And that's what brings them back together.
But do you think they are back together?
Yes. Absolutely. Because in the ending, he's like, do you want to try this thing? And she's like, yeah. And then they giggle and laugh in the hallway. Huh. After she storms out of his apartment, after he kicked her out of his car.
Why I'm like, do you...
Yeah, because he was listening to his, and he's like, I would never say those things about you, and blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, I can't do this. I gotta leave. And then he's like, wait, but now that we know this stuff, blah, 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 blah. And then we get the end, and they're happy together. I'm not gonna lie to you. This is where you and I differ. I think I liked the ending. I thought it was endearing, and it made my heart swell. I was like, oh, they know that they're flawed people, deeply, deeply, deeply flawed people, and they're going to work on themselves to be together. Now, ask me if I think they'll be together forever. No, but I like that they're together at the end of the movie, at least.
I, on the other hand, think they've already been through this cycle before. Clearly, it did not end well. And, well, they're just going to go for it again.
You don't think that they learned their lesson?
And I think it is just going to be like a freaking cycle, like we just talked about.
You think it's going to be a nasty loop that they continue to do this over and over and over again forever?
I don't think it'll be forever, but I think that they are circling back right now. I think they've already gone through the whole mind erase thing and probably will not do it again, but we'll see.
Speaking of going in circles, I think this is one of the most perfect loop movies
I know you said that ever.
I want to talk about that for a second, because the opening, Joel is on the beach and he doesn't know why he wants to go to Montauk. He skips work, goes to Montauk, walks on the beach, runs into this random ass girl. They have a fling that lasts like a couple days. And then we flash forward to him screaming and crying in his car.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, well, some time's gone by, clearly.
Right. So what I love is that aha moment when you realize the scene you saw in the beginning is them meeting again. After their minds have been erased and kicking it off and starting this to date. After their minds have been erased, they found each other again, which is kind of maybe
but they that's how, meant to be together. I was going to say, that's how much they loved each other, because it's not like Clementine was actually in his memories and in his dreams, which means that Joel, in her mind, was telling her the same thing. So they both didn't want to lose each other.
Yeah.
And so they hold on to this message that we get in Joel's memory. He is told, you know, hey, meet me in Montauk when you wake up. And he doesn't know why he wants to go to Montauk. He's forgotten all this shit.
Yeah.
And he gets there, and there she is. And I think that is...
He's on his way to work, and he randomly just runs to the train station to get to the... get to another train, and he's
for no reason in his mind. He's just decided I'm going to Montauk.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful, beautiful realization. For me, at least, I was like, this is gorgeous. When you realize that the opening of the movie is like actually the middle section of the movie.
Right.
And then the middle section is actually the beginning, and the ending is the ending. You know what I mean? It was just, I thought it was perfectly looped. And one of my favorite things about this movie was piecing everything together. The house. I should have put this in my notes. There was like four or five things that I was like, little by little, you pick up on what is going on.
Patrick, one of the guys that does the mind erasing, he starts dating Clementine after her mind erase.
Which is fucked up.
So where it kind of cuts off is before you get into the first part of the movie, but it's actually, I mean, the second part of the movie, but it's actually the first part of the story. Is Patrick, we don't know him yet, knocks on Jim Carrey's window of his car after he's just dropped off Clementine and she's going in to grab her toothbrush and come right back. He knocks on his window and he says, like, what are you doing here? Like, can I help you? And Jim Carrey's like, what are you talking about? Because he's literally parked on the side of the road.
Right.
And this guy's asking him, what are you doing here? And he has no recollection of who this guy is. And I think it's so cool when you figure out, like...
Right.
That's why he totally forgot that this guy's mind had been erased.
Yeah. I don't think he forgot his mind had been erased. I think he was like, why are you... He's like, this is Clementine's house. You shouldn't remember her at all.
Yeah.
And I also thought, what I thought was fun was that Elijah Wood is knocking on the window and he's like, why are you here? Who are you? What are you doing? I thought somehow Elijah Wood was going to tie back into this as someone who had one of the surgeries. And not actually the person giving the surgeries. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just love the way the story is pieced together. It is such a fantastic and fun ride to be like, oh, that's from this scene, or oh, that has significance here, and blah, 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 blah. And when you realize that everything you saw in the first 20 minutes is actually them in the middle of the story, post having his mind erased, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss. Charlie Kaufman.
That is a very good part. Like, I did love that realization. Of being like, oh my god, that was their second time meeting for the first time.
That was the second time meeting for the first time, exactly. Exactly. I
think... Because up until then, you think that came before.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the first time meeting. Yeah. Exactly. Because it is their first time meeting, but it's not to everyone else, but it is in their heads.
Right.
I think a lot of movies try to do something similar to this, not the whole deleting their fucking memories, but the non-linear storytelling where they're not telling the story in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to be like, oh, look at this and look at that, and we're going to tie this up in a nice little bow at the end. I think this movie was intentionally sloppy and was like, look how messy shit can get. And I loved that. I think it was just well-crafted. I think Charlie Kaufman is a wonderful writer. He's one of my favorite writers. He's up there as one of my favorite directors because he always the way he tells stories and the way he lets little nuggets slide in. Like, if you've seen the movie, I'm Thinking of Ending Things. First of all, read the novel. It's fantastic. Then watch the movie. Charlie Kaufman lets these little nuggets in there to let you know that something is wrong. And it's a lot like this, where it's happening inside someone's head. Just beautiful. I think the whole thing is just beautiful. And I think the ending is warranted. I'm not like a happy ending kind of guy. I don't need a happy ending. But I think the happy ending here... At least happy-ish ending worked for me.
We don't know if it's actually going
to
be happy.
Right. They just said they're going to try, but they have to admit their own faults before they can do that. Last thing I want to talk about that I have written in my notes, at least. Do you have anything else in your notes?
No.
Okay. So, the last thing I have written in my notes is the dog lady destroyed my heart.
The who?
The dog lady. I knew you were going to ask who I'm talking about. The woman who has all of her dog's toys, the picture of the dog, the food bowl. Now, this place, in my head... was just like, yeah, you use this to forget really bad, you know, relationships. Duh. This woman is sitting there in the background. It's such like a one-off moment. She's sitting in the background and she's got a picture of her puppy, dog toys in her lap, a bowl that has the dog's name on it. And you and I looked at each other and we both went, oh, because I didn't even piece that together. That, like, you could use it for something like that because I wouldn't want to. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want to ever forget our little babies. But... I think that goes to show you that the point of the movie is like, I think it's really easy and effective to do an animal because, you know, you love them so much and they love so unconditionally and they can't run away from you. You know what I mean? They can't just be like, I'm breaking up with you and I'm leaving. They are completely reliant on you. So you love them so much that I think it's the best way and easiest way to show that to love.
It's better to love and to lose than to never have loved at all.
Exactly. I think that it just shows you that, yes, there are going to be bad moments because nothing lasts forever and everything has to come to an end, but you should always cherish those memories you do have. And I think that
you're going to make me cry.
I think that one very specific scene is such a quick little shot is just so perfect to surmise this movie. You could have shown me that shot, ended the movie, and I would have gotten the point that they were trying to get across here.
Mm. I would have gotten it perfectly. Because when you see him, you're like, oh, you don't really want to forget your dog, do you?
Right. You're like, that's your baby. You don't want to forget him. But then you apply that to a human, and you're like, well, yeah, that is crazy. Why would you do that? Why would you ever just erase someone from your fucking life?
Right.
Even if it was shitty, that is who you are. That is a part of you now. You can't just go get rid of it, because maybe there were good times. Now, I'm sure there are some people out there who are like, no, I'd like to forget so-and-so. That's fine. But, like... most relationships you have, if they do end, you don't want to forget that you ever had them. Because then you lose all of the happy emotions, all the happy memories you have.
Right.
When you hear a song.
What
you've learned from them. When you hear a song or you smell a smell and it reminds you of something that was positive and you're just like losing all of it, dude.
Yeah.
You're getting rid of all of it. You have to take the good with the bad. You know what I mean? You can't just get rid of the bad.
I also don't think you truly can erase someone. Like, I understand, like, go to your apartment, get anything that reminds you of them, any memory you have. But there's going to be things that aren't tangible, like... items that are going to remind you of them. Smells, sounds,
songs, TV shows, right. Movies, books, fruit. You can't delete, you know what I mean?
Like a song on the radio.
Right.
So yeah. There, the system anytime is flawed.
Anytime he looks at Clementine, he would probably right. think of her. You know right. what I mean?
And that's the thing is like when you get all these memories erased, you're going to have these little moments where like a song comes on the radio and you're like, I feel so many emotions associated to the song, and I don't know why.
And wouldn't like, you want to have those? Wouldn't you want to have those emotions? And wouldn't you want to feel that, even if it's not like great?
Right.
Like, isn't it the power of being a human, and part of what makes being a human great is experiencing a vast array of emotions? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I mean, I would never go through with anything like this because, like mm-hmm. you said, you hear a song and you're instantly transported to a different time.
Yeah.
You smell, and you're transported to a different time. You know what I mean? And it's not all just like lovers and boyfriends and girlfriends. It could be like times you had with your friends and yeah. just like, I mean, that's why we take pictures and why we remember all these things, because we want to not forget those things. And it's not just with lovers, it's with your parents and your friends.
That's why we try to get our boyfriends to take more pictures of us.
Yeah.
So we have those memories.
I try to take pictures of you, but they're candids and you don't like my candids because they're usually you like laying on the couch or like picking your wedgie or something. But I mean, that's all I had. I mean, I think... I will get into our thoughts and feelings in the next section, so I guess I'll save it for that.
Okay,
the floor is yours. I'm going to let you go first. What are you going to give this movie? How many spotless minds are you going to give this movie?
I'm going to give this movie 3.5. I did really like the concept of the movie. I loved the loop. I loved the aha moment where you're like, oh my god, this is happening after all of this has already happened. I think they made the characters too unlikable, where the fact, it was just like, I wasn't happy that they were getting back together. I wasn't happy that, like, I didn't feel bad for them that they were going through this break. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just, I didn't feel a connection to them because they were just both kind of so...
shitty.
Blah. They were just not good people, good characters, good in a relationship. And so I think it's just like... this movie could have been a lot, like a 4.5. It could have been if the characters you actually cared more about and you liked them.
I get what you're saying. So I am going to give it 4.5. I loved this movie, and it is 110% because of the story structure. Like you talked about, there's a lot of behind the scenes shit, just the way the story's told, the structure of the story. I like the performances. I thought the cinematography was gorgeous. Mm-hmm. But for me, I do think that watching them have this shit moment and me hating them, like I hated them. I was like, I don't understand the appeal of these characters. I don't understand the appeal of this movie. Why do people care at all? But as you work through the plot and you start to see their memories and how much they do actually love each other, and you start to see the better times and the good times, and you listen to their insecurities through his memories, and you're like, okay, no, I get it. I mean, I'm starting to understand who these people are. I'm getting a better picture of who they are, a more complete picture. And so I was rooting for them. And when they get to the end and they finally do decide they're going to give it one more try, I'm like, that's fine. Like, even if they don't end up making it, I'm happy that they're at least able to accept their own faults, their own flaws, and just try to make it work, because they clearly fucking love each other. So I'm going to give this 4.5.
Yeah.
Now you have some ratings, but before we do that, I'm going to guess what this has on Letterboxd. I'd like to guess. Do you have it pulled up?
I do.
Okay. Now, I know this movie is really loved because I see a lot of people talking about it, especially because it was like the 20-year anniversary 2 days ago when we watched it. So it was all over the place. I'm going to say this has a 3.7.
4.2.
4.2. That makes me feel better about my rating. That makes me feel a little better about my rating.
Yeah.
I'll take it. 4.2. Definitely closer
to you than So now, my most favorite part has come. And after we just talked about this, and I'm looking through my reviews, I really think you should start picking some too, because I tend to pick reviews that coincide with my feelings.
That's great. At least you can admit that the reviews you're gonna read are skewed towards your opinion.
So
I appreciate that.
Ben Hibbard gave this movie 2 stars.
2 stars? Jesus Christ.
And he said, "I think it goes without saying amongst fellow film aficionados that we all love films, especially the great ones. However, through years of watching films, I've noticed that there seems to be that one film which is hugely popular, yet when you sit down to watch it, you can't understand why it's held in such high esteem. For me, it's only happened a couple of times, but unfortunately, I have to add Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind to this list. Whilst I appreciate the original screenplay from Charlie Kaufman,
my boy,
whose work I usually love.
Love it.
It felt completely flat.
Okay.
I was never engaged at any moment during the film. The characters were extremely unlikable and had horrible personalities, which was a major turnoff. Other than an emotional scene towards the end with Kirsten Dunst's character, the film felt dull and lifeless. At no point did I feel invested in the story. I was unable to buy into Joel and Clementine's impromptu relationship, which dissolved just as quickly as it began, giving me no time with their characters to care about their eventual fate. Both Jim Carrey and Kate Winslet gave excellent performances, as do the entire cast. I just hated their characters. The technical aspects of the film were well done. The way the film showcases memories and the way they subsequently disappeared, folded into each other, was expertly crafted and brilliantly edited. My only issue is that the story and the characters didn't work for me. No matter how good the direction and editing is, the majority of the time a film lives and dies by the strength of its story and its characters. And here it ultimately failed to connect with me.
Saying it's dull is crazy. And that I could never, that's... I mean, to each their own, and you should rate a movie how you feel, and you should rate a movie based on how much you enjoyed it, not all the technical aspects. I agree on that. But I think to say it's dull and it's not engaging is wild. That's a wild accusation to make. Because this movie is super engaging. I mean, yeah. The way he even talks about, the dream sequences folding in on each other and everything, that engaged the shit out of me. I was fully focused. I was ready to go.
I did fall asleep a tiny bit.
I know you did. I had to wake you up because it was late on a Tuesday and you were exhausted. And I was like, wake up.
And then what's funny is, so I have an Oura ring and it actually said that I took a nap.
It said you took a 21 minute nap.
During this movie.
Which watched you. You did fall asleep for 3 minutes. But I was
dozing off, but I don't think I actually was napping for 21 minutes.
No, there's no way.
All right. Next up we have, I'm not sure if it's Alfonso or Alphonse Zero. So, anyway, they gave this 2.5 stars.
Man, yeah, I gotta pick some because it's crazy. You're coming with some crazy, crazy reviews.
The next couple are 5 stars. Okay.
Okay, good.
This one says, bro was doing too much after a breakup. Man, take your ass to the gym and impulsively start a rap career like everyone else instead of erasing somebody from your brain, you dummy.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. I do think he became more obsessed with her when they broke up than he was when they were together.
That's what usually happens. Usually...
you wear rose-colored glasses and you look at everything and how great it was.
Right. But you also don't know, how good you had it until it's gone. Next is Kayla. She gave this movie 4 stars. Which is shocking because her review is not a 4-star review. Says... oh man, I'm sorry guys. I was not affected by this like everyone else was. It wasn't bad or anything. I thought it was good and had an interesting story. And I really liked the course it took. I just wasn't blown away, mind fucked, or emotional like I expected to be. One of the few times Jim Carrey doesn't creep me out though, which is cool. LOL. Same, Kayla. Except so he still creeped me out in this.
Did he really?
Yes.
Why?
He's creepy. He was so sketchy and quiet, and he didn't have a bed. He just
slept on a fold-out couch. Hey, listen.
You're a fold-out couches are
awesome. I would love to sleep on one of those for a day. That'd be nice.
And when he
you're a grown ass. That's so mean.
When he meets Clementine for the second time, and he just is staring at her, and
but she's also staring at him.
Right, but so they're at the train station, and she's walking up to him, and she waves, and he nods, and then...
he's shy.
Turns around he's and goes a shy around the guy. Corner and try and hide from her.
He's a shy guy, and Clementine's hair is 5 different colors. He can't handle that pressure.
He's creepy.
Do you know what comes along, the stress that comes along with a woman whose hair is different colors? No, you don't.
All right, and then we have... this review from, there's no name, just an emoji of a snail.
Oh, okay.
And Snail gave this movie 5 stars.
All right.
It said, ah, yes, my favorite genre of film, pain.
that's the perfect one.
And then number one Gizmo fan gave this movie 5 stars as well.
What's a gizmo?
I don't know. And they said, I pray people get broken up with so I can recommend this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you probably should not be recommending this
movie. Because then they'll end up back together with them.
they'll be like, oh, you know. Yeah. And then lastly, this is a 5-star review from Ian.
Okay.
And he said, this movie destroyed me. It somehow reminded me of a quote from Call Me by Your Name.
It's a good movie.
If there is pain, nurse it. If there is a flame, don't snuff it out. Don't be brutal with it. We rip out so much of ourselves to be cured of things faster that we go bankrupt by the age of 30 and have less to offer each time we start with someone new. Mm-hmm. The truth is, we place too much value on outcomes. We imagine that if a relationship ended in heartbreak, then the whole thing was worthless. We tend to forget to be grateful for the deep, intangible, and sacred moments that we share with our partners. And these moments, good or bad, are beyond priceless. Cherish the entire journey.
That's actually at the very end of the movie. The father is sitting there with Timothy Chalamet. I cannot remember his name. He's sitting there with Timothy. I think his name is Ilio. And
what movie?
Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, okay.
And he is giving that speech, and it's because he found out his son is gay. And they had an affair with an older gentleman that was living with them at one point. And his father is like, dude, it's the 60s. So he's like, please don't, or 70s. He's like, please don't snuff out who you are. And I think that's a very poignant speech. Mm-hmm. There are pieces of that that absolutely relate to this movie for sure. I could see the correlation there. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That also ends in pain and heartbreak. Oh. So there's that person who said my favorite genre of movies, pain, should watch Call Me By Your Name. Those are pretty good reviews. I mean, you did a good job. I don't think I need to pull up any reviews. You did a good job of mixing in the good and the bad.
Thanks.
You did. They were funny. They were long, good ones that were like like an actual analysis. And then they were like, pain. So, I mean, you did a great job. And if you think we did a great job, you should rate this podcast 5 stars wherever you're listening. Because that we appreciate that, and that helps us get into more people's feed. So that is fantastic.
Yeah,
please rate us wherever you listen. It helps us immensely. We appreciate that. Share us. Like, tell people about the podcast. Share it on your Instagram. Share it wherever the fuck you have social media. We appreciate that. And with that said, go watch a painful movie.